A reading from 1 Kings, chapter 19, beginning at verse 9. The Lord appears to Elijah. There he went into a cave and spent the night, and the word of the Lord came to him. "What are you doing here, Elijah?" He replied, "I have been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenant, torn down your altars, and put your prophets to death with the sword. I am the only one left, and now they are trying to kill me too." The Lord said, "Go out and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by." Then a great and powerful wind tore the mountains apart and shattered the rocks before the Lord, but the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake came a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire came a gentle whisper. When Elijah heard it, he pulled his cloak over his face and went out and stood at the mouth of the cave. Then a voice said to him, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" He replied, "I have been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenant, torn down your altars, and put your prophets to death with the sword. I am the only one left, and now they are trying to kill me too." The Lord said to him, "Go back the way you came, and go to the desert of Damascus. When you get there, anoint Hazael king over Aram. Also anoint Jehu, son of Nimshi, king over Israel, and anoint Elisha, son of Shaphat, from Abel-Meholah, to succeed you as prophet. Jehu will put to death any who escape the sword of Hazael, and Elisha will put to death any who escape the sword of Jehu. Yet I reserve 7,000 in Israel, all whose knees have not bowed down to Baal, and whose mouths have not kissed him." Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church.
Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel according to Matthew chapter 14, beginning at verse 22. Praise and glory to God. The event described here took place just after the miracle of the feeding of the 5,000. Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side while he dismissed the crowd. After he had dismissed them, he went up on a mountainside by himself to pray. Later that night, he was there alone, and the boat was already a considerable distance from land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. Shortly before dawn, Jesus went out to them, walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. "It's a ghost," they said, and cried out in fear. But Jesus said to them, "Take courage, it is I, don't be afraid." "Lord, if it's you," Peter replied, "tell me to come to you on the water." "Come," he said. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came toward Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, cried out, "Lord, save me." Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. "You of little faith," he said, "why did you doubt?" And when they climbed into the boat, the wind died down. Then those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." This is the gospel of Christ.
Praise to Christ the Word.
May the words of my mouth and the thoughts of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Well, I do have a Croatian ancestor many generations back, and I won't tell his story so much, but rather the story of the woman who bore his child, because at times in her life, she must have felt alone, not seen a way out, and yet not lost her faith. Well, life started out well for her. Magdalene was the only child of the mayor of a small South German town. At some time in the 16th century, the Reformation had come to this area, and the town, like so many others around it, had become Protestant. With the Reformed faith came an emphasis on learning and regular Bible reading. And from early on, Magdalene had shown an ability for learning and was educated with the other children by the local pastor. From an early age, she also had a certain independence and strong spirit. During the 17th century, the 30 Years' War raged in Europe, in which tensions about religion and territorial possession had broken out. And the war also came to that little town. The townspeople heard that a troop of Croatian mercenaries were headed for the town. They prepared accordingly. They hid some provisions in secret cellars. They took the best horses and cows into the forest for safeguarding. And they arranged hiding places for the younger women and the older girls. After all, the Croatian mercenaries were known for raping and pillaging as they went through the land. But Magdalene did not go into hiding. She insisted that she would not be locked up like an animal and would stand with her father to look after him. Well, the mercenaries came and initially conducted themselves with relative honor. The leader of the troop took residence with the mayor. He did notice Magdalene, and on the third day, on the evening before the Croatian troop left the town, even requested her hand in marriage. Well, Magdalene dismissed that request, telling him that she had no intention of going to Croatia or anywhere from her small town and did not want to marry a Catholic. The next morning, the Croatian mercenaries left the town. Some of the inhabitants watched them file through the streets. As they rode past the mayor's house, the door was open and Magdalene cast a quick glance on the departing soldiers from the inside stairs. The Croatian major, as he must have been, he saw her through the door. He jumped from his horse, ran into the house and tried to drag her away. She held onto the railing, and so he took out his sword, cut the railing off, and carried her onto his horse with Magdalene still holding onto the wood. He rode off quickly before any of the townspeople had realized what was happening. Well, for Magdalene began a time of loneliness and confusion. She was carried along by a group of mercenaries in the middle of a war. At least the major looked after her and did not permit that any harm would be done to her. He did not even force himself onto her either. And so she eventually arrived in Croatia, where she agreed to marry the Croatian soldier. After all, he was her only protection, and he did care for her. In her loneliness, she cried and prayed. Among the loot that her husband had brought from his mercenary activities, she also found a few books, including a Bible and a hymn book. Those books became her solace, and she regularly had quiet prayer times, though in secret, because such Protestant customs were not allowed in Croatia at the time. Over time, the marriage that had begun in a forceful abduction began to blossom. And then one day, Magdalene saw her husband read the Bible, and as the tears flowed across his weathered face, he said, "Magdalene, I believe what it says. This is right." And he told her that, moved by her example, he had begun reading the Bible and from it learned how to pray. He wanted to serve God. Magdalene thanked God that through her apparent abandonment, even in times when she had felt alone, God had been with her and had made her the wife of a wild Croatian so that she could lead him to God. And from that time on, they prayed together. After several years, they decided to move back to the town that Magdalene had been abducted from. They were able to build their life in that town, or rather just outside the town, because they bought a farm outside the walls and lived there. Magdalene's father was still alive when they returned, and he also moved to the farm with them. There, Magdalene gave birth to a son, now that they were at home. The family attended church regularly and lived in peace and quietness. Magdalene's husband retained the impressive moustache, as is Croatian custom, and a painting of the strange ancestor was treasured in the family for generations. Well, this is one experience among many thousands of God's experience in troubled times. Now, I do know that war is cruel and thousands of people have prayed earnestly and life has not turned out well for them. They have not returned home. And yet there are also thousands upon thousands who have known God's presence in difficult circumstances. There are countless witnesses to the fact that we are not alone, thousands who have experienced life beyond hard times. Even when there has been little light, God has been able to make something good out of disaster. And so the story of Magdalene is just one of the thousands of stories of God making something good out of a situation that had seemed hopeless. It is just one of the stories of God's kingdom breaking into the human mess here on earth. Over the next few Sundays, we'll look at a time in Elijah's life as it's recounted in the book of 1 Kings, together with a few chapters from the Gospel of Matthew. Even though Elijah had won a victory on Mount Carmel, he had been threatened and then he ran away. He felt alone and forsaken. He was so depressed that he wanted to die. But God asked him to go further until he came to Mount Horeb, where he went into a cave, rolled up, and wanted nothing to do with the world anymore. It seemed that he had failed after all. He was the only one left, a lone voice, trying to call Israel back to the covenant. And he had done everything that he could and still had not succeeded. He had failed and felt alone. And yet, in his failure, Elijah still trusted God, still could hear God's voice. And so he knew that God would be with him, that God's presence would pass by. And as he waited there for God, Elijah did not encounter him in the wind that tore the mountains apart, or in the earthquake or the fire, but God was in the gentle whisper, in the unassuming. It's not always in the extraordinary that we encounter God's presence, but sometimes in the small and gentle and in the stillness. This encounter with God gave Elijah new purpose and strength. And so, as he was there and felt God's presence, he again told God that he was alone, that he could no longer carry on. But God made it clear that Elijah's work was not yet done, it was not yet over. There was more for him to do. So God sent Elijah back to his task in Israel and Damascus. And he told Elijah that indeed he was not alone, not even in human terms. There were others who were faithful, thousands of them. God would protect those faithful, would guide and keep them, even in a hostile world. Of course, throughout the Bible, Elijah was not the only one who experienced God's presence in difficult circumstances. There are many more, and also in our gospel reading, it tells the story of Jesus coming to the disciples through the storm. There's a lot to this account, but I want to focus on Jesus' presence with the disciples in their difficulty. The disciples had gone ahead on a boat on Lake Galilee, crossing from one side to the next. And this was not a large boat, but rather probably a small fishing boat. For a boat such as this, the storm that came up could be dangerous, and across the years there have been remains of boats found on the bottom of Lake Galilee. We read that the boat was buffeted by the waves and the wind was against it. It seemed as if the disciples were alone. And just as they were really afraid, their terror increased, for they saw a figure striding across the waves. To them, the only rational explanation was that it was a ghost, some dark presence. But what they had feared turned out to be their hope. It was Jesus, and he spoke the words that are actually one of the most common phrases in the whole Bible: "Do not be afraid." I think it's a message that not only the disciples had to hear, but that across the ages people heard: "Do not be afraid." Jesus also said, "It is I." Well, that's a clear identification of who it is. It also points beyond the simple words to the reality that in Jesus, God is present. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, who had revealed himself to Moses as the one who is, "I am who I am." In Jesus, God is present. He made that clear by calming the waves as he got into the boat, for then the wind died down. The disciples recognized that in Jesus, God was present with them. They worshipped him and said that truly Jesus was the Son of God. Well, and we shouldn't forget Peter. Peter was so confident that he went out of the boat to come to Jesus across the waves. As he took his eyes off Jesus and looked at the wind, he began to sink. And yet, even as he lost his faith, Jesus was there with him, reached out and caught him. The gospel wants to make it more than clear that even in the storm, even when we are afraid, God is with us in Jesus Christ. That has been the experience of the faithful people throughout the millennia. We should not lose faith, even when things do not go as we had hoped, even when difficulties overwhelm us, even when we do not see a way forward, even when we seem to have failed. God is with us even in the most difficult circumstances and can give us strength. We are not alone. Elijah and others in Israel learned that, and from the disciples onwards, Christians have experienced it as well. Many have put that experience into hymns. So we later sing, "Be still my soul, the waves and winds still know his voice who ruled them while he dwelt below." Or we'll also sing, "When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot you have taught me to say, it is well with my soul." And like many others, we can also experience it. We are not alone. God is with us. Amen.